It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is up? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I am your host, here to talk DFS time with me. It is time to talk the slate, people! Yeah! All the punts, all the plays, all the pivots. Let's go! Adam, what's up, man?
Dude, you're always really pumped for the Friday podcast, which I get. It's the most fun podcast, but I feel like you're extra pumped because there's a really strong chance that Adam Gase is fired within the next hour or two, which would be dope.
Oh, my gosh. I was doing backstrokes, like, all last night. I was like, oh, my gosh, like, it's got to happen. It's got to happen. Like, I was watching the game, and then you see the Jets get a little bit closer, and I was like, come on, Broncos, don't do this to me. Do not do this to me. Come on, I need this in my life. No, man, I hope they get rid of him. Like, if they keep him, can we just say if the Jets keep Gase for the rest of the season, it's really just to ensure that they get the top pick or top three?
Yeah.
Like, is that the only reason?
The thing about it is, like Josh Allen, I hate to bring him up, but I'm making it as a point, I promise. Josh Allen is clearly, like, established himself as the best quarterback from that draft class outside of Lamar Jackson. Like, he's clearly better than Baker, Darnold, Rosen, whoever. But I think Sam Darnold's good. Like, I think you can build, like, if you build around him, he showed last night he has a lot of like, skills. So it's like, if they tank or just are that bad where they get Trevor Lawrence or somebody, I'll kind of feel bad because I think Sam Darnold is a solid quarterback.
I just think that it's really, really sad. Like, we see these quarterbacks fall into, like, these dumpster fire franchises that end up with top three, top five picks. And if they have no direction, like, who are you going to point at? Like, I put this out on Twitter because one of the beat writers, I want to say it was for Miami Dolphins, was like, oh, yeah, well,
I saw that.
It's lost because Darnold threw, you know, some interceptions. Or no, he couldn't beat a backup quarterback, a third-string guy that threw three picks. And I was like, well, hold on, baby. Are we watching the same game? Like, you have Darnold who he's throwing to a dude off the practice squad, the ghost of Chris Hogan, a less than 100% Jamison Crowder versus a good defense, and the guy kept them in the game. And I'm like, what are you watching? If you're blaming this on Darnold, like, I don't know what to tell you. And yes, I feel bad for Sam Darnold. Like, I think that he could definitively go somewhere, probably have success. We have not seen Sam Darnold with an actually decent set of skill players and a good offensive line around him. So
put him on Washington. That way, Terry McLaurin can get some catchable targets. That'd be dope. Dude,
my whole problem is, like, this is how you ruin players. Like, what the Jets are doing to Darnold, what was done to, like, you know, Derek Carr's brother back in the day. Like, quarterbacks that get drafted so high, get stuck on these just hapless franchises and get beat to heck and back for a few years, if they're ever the same, then they end up into, like, journeyman roles. And it's really sad because you're like, okay, what could have been if Sam Darnold did not get drafted by the Jets? Like, if Sam Darnold would have been drafted by somebody else, what could have been happened? Like, what could have been for this dude's career thus far and even moving forward? So you got to feel for Sam Darnold. If you're going to put that loss on Sam Darnold, I really question, like, are we watching the same game last night?
I think it's pretty clear that he's just not in a position to consistently succeed. So we'll see what happens. But luckily the Jets aren't on the main slate, so we don't have to talk about them anymore. Although we somehow managed to each podcast for some reason.
Well, it's just stoking the fires of my Gase hate, which, you know, I'm totally fine with that. We could do that every single week, every episode. It never gets old for me. So, yeah, totally good with that. We could just run it back every time. All right, man, before we get this kicked off, dive into this slate head first, want to remind people, head over to at ChalkFade on Twitter. Send us a screenshot of a review that you have done for the podcast, and you are entered to win this signed mini helmet for Kenny Golladay that we are giving away. I say it every single episode. We are inching closer and closer. Like, my last tally, we are somewhere close to around 80 reviews. When we hit 100, we are going to give this thing away, and the reviews are pouring in daily. Like, we should be giving this thing away within the next week or two, considering the rate that they are coming in. So if you want a chance at this for literally 30 seconds of your day, of your life, to get entered to win with this, and we're talking about it's 100 reviews. It's you versus 100 people. Those are great odds. Go ahead, get entered to win. We're going to give this bad boy away. We're going to announce it on Twitter when we do. All right, Adam, let's dive into this, dude. Without further ado, the Browns are heading to Dallas. The over-under is set at 56. The Cowboys are favored by 4.5. What do you think for this game, man?
Yeah, so injury-wise, Kareem Hunt popped up on Wednesday's practice report or injury report with a groin. He didn't practice Wednesday, didn't practice Thursday. The Browns said it's not serious, but he'll have to get in at least a limited session Friday to have a chance to play. And if he sits, I mean, it won't change how I view the game because I think Dallas is going to be ahead in this game. But at the same time, Nick Chubb wouldn't be coming off the field in those instances where Kareem Hunt would be playing. So this would be massive for Nick Chubb. And then Odell Beckham also popped up in the injury report with a back. He was limited. I expect him to play. And that's kind of where I want to start, man. Like, I have some tournament interest in Odell Beckham. And it's so weird to preface that and saying it like it's a bad thing because, you know, when he was on the Giants, this was maybe the best receiver in the NFL. And now it's just, you know, it hasn't panned out with Cleveland. But if you look at the matchup, Dallas has been an awful defense, which is why they've been throwing so much. I expect Cleveland to struggle on defense here and fall behind in Dallas. And if that happens, I mean, Odell Beckham, despite the Browns being so run heavy and positive in neutral game scripts, he still has a 28.2% target share, which is top six in the NFL. He is in a spot where he's going to see a lot of coverage from Daryl Worley, who just doesn't really have a shot against him. Daryl Worley's allowing 2.7 fantasy points per target this year. And if you look at the advanced DVP tool up at FTN Fantasy, which is totally free, by the way, you can see that Dallas has been really bad against left wide receivers. They are allowing the seventh most fantasy points per game to receivers on the left side of the formation and the most receivers on the right side of the formation. So wherever Odell lines up in this spot, he's going to have a good matchup. And he's under 6K. And when Cleveland has to throw, he's been getting 8 to 10 targets. So I kind of like Odell Beckham in tournaments.
I like Odell. So all right, the first time that I went through this game, I think that we need to, I don't want to bury this too much. What are your thoughts on Nick Chubb for this? Because I feel like if Kareem Hunt is limited or he's out, Nick Chubb is going to be immensely popular.
Yeah, he'll be the most popular running back on the slate because there's not like insane value, like where starters are out like a couple weeks ago. Like he will probably be the most popular running back.
And I understand it, but the other thing about it is, like, he's not cheap. He's 7K on DraftKings. I understand he's going to get most of the work. I don't know if he'll get all of the work. Like, I want to say that he will, but can we say that, like, other running backs will not factor in with a passing game and considering what we think about with script and pace and all those other kind of things? I'm with you. I think Odell and Landry play in this game. Like, there's reports, like, yes, Odell with the back. Landry also that he's still not 100%. We haven't seen explosion games for either one of them yet. I think that it's a big point for me to mention here is that I think that people could, you know, consider Baker in tournaments. And I wrote him off on quarterback streamers for the site this week, and I get it. My whole concern with Baker is I don't know if he really has like a GPP winning ceiling to him, just because I don't think that he's going to get the volume to do so, because Cleveland has not gone away from the run, even when they've been trailing. Like, if you look at the first games of this season, when they are trailing, they're still throwing at the fifth lowest mark in the league. So it's not like they're just going super pass heavy. So really, if you're looking at stacking this game, you really got to tell yourself, okay, what am I going to do with it? And I got to pick one pass catcher here because I don't think that Baker's going to have enough volume where you could really do like a full game stack and be like, all right, let's go Odell, let's go Landry, and let's stack up the Dallas side and go with Dak. I just don't think there's enough volume there. So it's really going to be parsing out who are you going to stick it with. Like, is it going to be Odell? Is it going to be Landry? And Adam, both of them have really good cornerback matchups. Like, you're talking about Odell would get Worley. Landry is either going to see Jordan Lewis in the slot or he's going to see Diggs on the outside. Diggs on the outside, he's been targeted 22 times, allowed 15 catches, 2 touchdowns, and a 131 passer rating. And I think Landry would actually see more of Diggs because Cleveland's been running the fourth lowest 11 personnel, only 39% of their plays. So I think you would see Landry on the outside more than in the slot. And I think Landry is probably my lean in this game. And it's not by much. And I only say that because nobody's going to play him, Adam. Like, where do you think Landry is going to come at, like, as far as roster percentage?
I think both of them are going to be sub 10. And, like, I'm more of a tournament player. And I think if both Odell and Landry hit their ceiling, Odell's is higher. I know Landry's been more of, like, the red zone target since he's been on Cleveland. But, you know, Odell is the guy that's going to take a 70-yard slant to the house if it happens. So, but, yeah, I think they're both going to be sub 10%. That's the problem I have with this game too, man. Like, it's like I like the spots for Odell and Landry, but it's like at the same time, I don't, even though I like Odell in this game a lot, I don't necessarily know if I want to play Baker.
And that's the problem, man. I'm like, I think that this game could be a little bit popular. Now we'll see what happens between now and Sunday. But
Dallas and Seattle are like the new Saints Falcons from a couple years ago. Like anytime they're on the slate, you're probably going to see people targeting players in that game. Their defenses have been that bad. The offenses are high powered, and the offenses have a lot of skill players that are good in fantasy. Like that's who I think they kind of remind me of this year so far.
And before we move over to the Cowboys side of this one, I do want to say that if we get any kind of changing reports that, you know, Odell or Landry would just like out of the blue miss this game, I would have middling interest in Austin Hooper. But outside of that, like, both of those guys would have to be out, or we got to hear, like, one of them is going to be out and the other one's going to be limited. Because past that, I've got no interest in Austin Hooper, even though the matchup is great. Like, it is juicy for Austin Hooper. Like, Dallas is 24th in DVOA versus the tight end right now. But Austin Hooper's not getting any targets, man. Like, 2, 4, 4. Through three games.
If you're going to play a tight end on that team that gets 2 targets, just play Harrison Bryant at 2,500.
I don't disagree with you, and that's the thing. Like, I want to talk myself into Hooper, but unless, like, the other pass catchers for Cleveland die, I'm not going to get there. So moving over to Dallas, man, I think that Dak is in play here. The big question that I have about with them is Dallas's pace has been just ridiculous. The question that I have about with Dak is, so far this year, we've seen the opposing offenses push Dallas to pass, to throw, to really try to put up the points. I don't know if Cleveland's going to do that in this game. And while I like Dak, if he gets popular, I could just end up like fading this game altogether. And it goes to say that, like, I like Dak to an extent. I also like the pass catchers here. I know Gallup is coming off a big game, but as far as cornerback matchups, I like CeeDee Lamb and Cooper a whole lot. CeeDee Lamb is probably my favorite guy on the Dallas side as far as pass catchers go for their wide receivers. Like, Thomas in the slot has not been good. You can absolutely pick on him. And Lamb, we saw Cedric Wilson kind of get involved last week. There have been reports that have kind of like trickled out, like maybe he was dealing with an injury, nothing definitive. I think that's the case. Lamb has not played bad so far this year. So really you have to like try to read the tea leaves. And I think that there was something going on last week as far as like a small injury. They limited him a little bit. And I think his snaps are going to pop right back up. So I love him in this game. Thomas in the slot, 16 targets, 13 catches allowed, and has let people record a 115 passer rating in his coverage. So love Lamb in this spot. Love Cooper because you know he's going to get a ton of targets, whether or not like Denzel Ward plays in this game because he's been banged up as well. What are your thoughts on Zeke? Because I'm really curious. I want to pick your brain about him because I'm going to fade him. I faded him all last week, and I'm going to fade him again because Dallas is not run blocking well at all. Like, they have been terrible. He's getting there on volume, but they're 30th in open field yards generated. Zeke has not produced. What's going on, like, under the radar here? Zeke has not ripped off a run of 15 yards or longer this season. Not yet. Not at all.
I think I saw Dallas is the only team that hasn't done that.
Yes, and it anybody that is playing on narratives of last year, like that you can run on the Browns and they are a bad run defense, like, you need to check the numbers, man, because that is definitively not the case. Like, they're 9th in adjusted line yards allowed, 7th in second level, and 3rd in open field yards. So you're talking about Zeke, who is running behind an offensive line that's banged up, that's bottom 3 in the NFL as far as getting him deep down the field, allowing holes to open up and him to break long plays. He hasn't broken any plays, versus a team that's top 3 in limiting opposing rushing attacks on those big plays. Yeah, man, Zeke is a full fade for me this week. I'm not going to have a lineup probably with him. I understand people are going to point to his target share. They're going to point to the volume and things of that nature. He's not cheap, and there are immensely better plays on the board for running backs. But tell me, man, like, am I wrong? Like, where do you stand with Zeke, or am I just tossing crazy sauce at you?
No, like, I'm a little bit higher on him than you, but I'd much rather play Kamara. I'd much rather play Dalvin Cook. Like, if Kareem Hunt's out, I'd rather play Chubb. And then there's a lot of those running backs in the 6K range that I have some interest in as well. So I'll probably play Zeke in a handful of lineups, but he's not a priority for me on this slate by any means, especially because, like, Kamara is obviously a better play, and I really like Dalvin Cook over him at $200 cheaper.
All right, man. So let's move over to the next game. The Saints travel to Detroit. The over-under is set at 54. The Saints are favored by 4 in this game. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, so we'll have to see about Michael Thomas. He's been practicing, which is a good sign that he will return from his high ankle sprain. A little bit, I'm really interested to see how popular he's going to be, because the matchup is fantastic, obviously. You know, the Saints passing game should be, you know, get back on track in this game if Michael Thomas is back. And, you know, he's under 8K. So it's really interesting to see how popular he's going to be. You know, Detroit's been awful on defense this year. Jeff Okuda's been, you know, he's been good, and he's been, you know, showing that he's a rookie in some games as well, which is obviously expected. But I think that's the most interesting thing from this game. And we also have Marshon Lattimore on the injury report. He might not play, which is massive. And Janoris Jenkins was also limited. So, I mean, if the Saints defense is already underwhelmed this year to start, and if they're without their top 2 corners, I mean, Kenny Galladay, who didn't even play his full allotment of snaps last game and still had a solid game, and he's only 6K. Like, I was interested in Kenny Galladay in tournaments at 6K, even if Lattimore was active, just because I think that price is way too cheap for Galladay in a game where Detroit probably has to play from behind here. And even Marvin Jones, man, he hasn't been great this year, and he only had 3 targets last week, but he's under 5K. So I had some interest in those guys, especially if Lattimore's out. And then obviously Kamara is just a smash play right now. He's probably looking like he's going to be the top player in all of fantasy with the way he looks, the way he's being used. Not going to have 13 targets again if Thomas is active, but I don't really care. He only needs 7 or 8, which he'll probably get, given how good he looks now that he's fully healthy.
I want to lead off with this, and I can't state this with enough energy. I will not make any lineup this week without Alvin Kamara in it. It's just a fact. He is a lock. You cannot make a lineup without Alvin Kamara, because when he breaks the slate, you're going to say, oh, Alvin Kamara is going to crush the Lions. I want all the Alvin Kamara. And for people who are like, oh, he's going to be popular, then you play more. That's what you do. It's like with Aaron Jones the weeks before. You just play more. With other running backs that have crushed, like last week, you know, we were talking about James Conner. You play more. You want to play more Alvin Kamara. Like, he is mispriced. The fact that he is 8K does not matter, because he should be above 9. He should be above 9. Like, he should be closer to, like, what CMC was seeing, because his usage, has been amazing. He is the engine for this offense, regardless if Michael Thomas plays or not, which I actually don't think that they let Michael Thomas go out there and play. This Saints team is struggling, but if they have any kind of hopes for the playoffs, Super Bowl aspirations still within the realm of possibilities, you don't want Michael Thomas limping along for the rest of the season. Right. So I don't think that he plays in this game, and it doesn't matter for me. Yeah. Alvin Kamara is a lock.
I mean, if he doesn't play, is there such a thing as like a double lock for Kamara, like a super lock? Like he's last two games without Michael Thomas, he's averaging over a fantasy point per snap. Per snap, he's averaging more than a fantasy point per snap, and he's had 23 targets, 19 catches. Just ridiculous. I love how they're using their running backs without Thomas, too. Like, Latavius Murray's their early down guy. He'll play, like, on a lot of the first downs, but then Kamara comes in, and the way they use him, it's so tough to stop, and I just think he is a smash. And by the way, I don't understand this Drew Brees narrative all of a sudden. Drew Brees isn't throwing deep. Have you guys watched Drew Brees play in New Orleans? I know he's throwing, like, incredibly low percentage of deep passes this year. I get it, but it's like this is not really anything new. I don't understand why this is so popular on Twitter right now. Like Drew Brees is not throwing deep this year. Okay,
I think it comes down to like basically Twitter loves to crap on like aging quarterbacks,
well, and because it's like, oh, when Michael Thomas comes back, like Michael Thomas ain't going deep either. What are y'all talking about?
Nah, bro.
What are y'all talking about? By the way, I like Brees in this spot too. He is. I can't remember him being this cheap. He's 5,800. If there is a spot for him to hit some deep passes, it'd probably be this one. The Lions are allowing the third highest ADOT in the NFL, and they have the second lowest pressure rate. So
that's exactly what I was going to ask you. Who are you going to stack Brees with besides Kamara? Because that's the struggle that I have. I much prefer the Lions side. Like if I'm going to stack this game up,
I agree.
But my question is, who are you going to stack with Brees? Is it Traquan? Is it Emmanuel Sanders? Because
that's going to be Kamara.
Well, besides Kamara, like who you're going to double?
If I double stack, it'll be Traquan in this spot. I think Traquan has a better chance to take one deep against this Lions team that's giving up a ton of deep passes. But I agree, like the Lions side is more interesting because Galladay's so cheap, Marvin Jones is so cheap, Stafford is also under 6K. The Saints defense has been playing poorly, and now they could be without Marshawn Lattimore. And if that happens, I mean Kenny Galladay, I mean. If Janoris Jenkins plays and Lattimore sits, Janoris Jenkins probably slides over to cover Galladay, which I don't really care because Janoris Jenkins struggled to cover Marquez Valdes-Scantling on Sunday night. But then Marvin Jones could eat too. Like I like that double stack as well.
I mean that's really I lean more to the Detroit side for a few different reasons. One, we know where the ball is going to go. Traquan Smith is not like
Adrian Peterson's gut. You're right.
Don't you put that bad voodoo on me, man.
It's not bad voodoo. It's facts.
don't do that.
Until they're down by 14, they're giving him the ball because DeAndre Swift is playing behind Jamal Agnew.
That's my whole thing. I think that New Orleans can get out to a lead in this game, mm-hmm. and that's what you want because with the Lions right now, when they've been trailing, they are passing. They're top five in passing rate in the NFL right now, throwing at 78%. When they're trailing in games, we know where the ball is going to go. Lattimore has been terrible, just nothing short of terrible. Janoris Jenkins has been bad as well. I mean, basically, when he's not hooking guys' arms and trying to like get like defensive pass interference and like saying, okay, well, you're not going to get a touchdown on me because I'm just going to like tackle you or try to like grab your arms. He's been terrible in coverage. Like Lattimore, 12 targets, 10 receptions, 155 yards allowed, perfect passer rating in his coverage. So Kenny Galladay can crush him. Marv would face Jenkins, 22 targets, 13 receptions. Like, neither one of these corners are any good. If you want to get wild in this one and you're saying, okay, Stafford's going to go for three touchdowns, I'm not going to tell you that Danny Amendola is not in play because we know that the Saints can be eat up through the slot. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson has not been great either. 13 targets, 11 receptions. And he's allowed a 113 passer rating. So if you want to get wild with it, I probably am not on Hockenson because
I was going to ask you about him. Like, I usually don't play Hockenson when Detroit's fully healthy because the target ceiling seems to be like 6. Yep. But the Saints have also been awful against tight ends. They gave up 2 to Green Bay last week. They gave up a huge game to Darren Waller a couple Monday nights ago. Like, they've been really bad. But my problem is at tight end, I'm either playing, it's the same kind of approach I have in drafts for seasonal, right? Like, I'm paying up for the high-end guys like Andrews, Ertz, Kelsey, whoever, Kittle. Well, Kittle's not on this slate, but or I'm just going to punt. And speaking of punts, would you play any Adam Trautman at 2,500 if Jared Cook's out? He has not been practicing with a groin injury.
No. I mean, what's Trautman's ceiling for targets?
Three? Well, I would only consider it if Thomas is out, too, because like if he plays, if but Thomas still, plays, like, his ceiling for targets is like 2, and if he sits, his ceiling for targets is like 5. So,
what's your 3% outcome for Trautman? Like, he gets, what, 30 yards and maybe a touchdown? Well, and Detroit's been pretty good. They're 6th in DVOA versus tight ends right now. So, I get it, but, I mean, I would much rather, if you're going to go those options and you're saying, okay, you're telling yourself a story of like, okay, Breeze is going to go for multiple, like, 2-3 touchdowns. I would go Kamara, Traquan, and Emmanuel Sanders in that, you know, if you're really saying, okay, Drew Brees is going to go nuclear, he's going to somehow walk into like 3+ touchdowns, that then I think that you're talking about if Cook is out, that's probably where I'm going to go. And then everybody tilts their face off when Taysom Hill gets multiple touchdowns. So, you know, yeah. that's how that goes.
Before we get out of this game, I will say Marvin Jones, you know, he's going to have one of those 2 or 3 touchdown games. So I'm going to keep playing him at this price in decent matchups and tournaments because it's going to happen. And I think Marvin Jones is just better for fantasy with Galladay active because Marvin Jones, as much as I love him, he's not a number one on a team. Like it's a lot easier for him to go against number 2 and number 3 corners. And that's going to be the case here.
Yep, I have no disagreement. I have a lot of love for this game, and definitely most of it's on the Detroit side. All right, moving on. So the Vikings are heading to Houston. The over-under is set at 53.5. Texans are favored by 4. Adam, what are your thoughts?
I think we could see a shootout here, man. I wrote up Dalvin Cook in my Prize Picks article up at ftndaily.com. I think he's going to have another huge game, and we saw it last week. These teams, the Vikings and Texans, are both 1st and 2nd, or 32nd and 31st, however you want to look at it. They give up the most points per drive in the NFL so far. So we could see a lot of points in this game. And Houston's been getting just destroyed by the run. That's why their corners have had solid numbers and their pass defense is good, because teams are just running down their throat. You look at it right now, teams are calling run 52.4% of the time against the Texans, highest rate in the NFL. Nearly 49% of the yardage allowed by Houston has come on the ground. That's the highest rate in the NFL. And we know the Vikings still are a run-first team. It sets up really nicely for Dalvin Cook, who they finally just force-fed the ball to last week. He looked great. And I like we talked about Zeke. Give me Dalvin Cook 100 times out of 100 over Zeke this week. I love Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, I don't really understand how anybody could play Zeke over Dalvin. Dalvin, for all the reasons we loved James Conner last week, you take that and then you add some more sauce on top of that for Dalvin, he could break the slate here. Like, that is definitively in play because we know Minnesota wants to run the ball. He had his first game last week where he actually got some more volume. I mean, if you look at the first 2 weeks of the season, he was kind of struggling. He had 13 touches, or 16 touches. He finally went above 20 last week. He got 24 touches. I think this is another game he's going to see 20-plus touches. I think that you look at Minnesota, they are elite right now at run blocking. And I think that this game could and will shoot out. Like, I think that Deshaun Watson is probably going to be really popular. I don't know if I have... Like, I walked into this week saying, okay, I want to stack this game up. I want Deshaun Watson. I want Will Fuller. Give me some Brandon Cooks. And we haven't even mentioned it here. Will Fuller popped up on the injury report. He was limited. We'll see what his report looks like on Friday and Saturday. But if he is looking more doubtful in this game, I'm probably going to lean.
Came out like 15 minutes ago, by the way, that... And again, you, especially with Will Fuller, you have to take it with a grain of salt. But it said Will Fuller should play on Sunday. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if Fuller's going to play and people are worried about the injury.
I'm playing him. I don't care.
Okay. That's my whole thing.
It's too damn enticing.
You got to monitor this through the weekend. And if people and ever all the shade, because people hate Will Fuller. They hate his hamstrings. They don't like him. If that all drops because of Will Fuller's, like, you know, inclusion on the injury report, like, I will play Watson. I will stack up this game. It is all the Watson. It is all the Fuller and Brandon Cooks, and I'm running it back with Dalvin because Dalvin's going to smash. That's definitively – it goes from, am I going to play one of these guys? Am I going to lock in Dalvin and play one of these guys as a one-off? or am I going to stack this game? Because the corners, we've been talking about it every single time we get on a dang podcast.
Like the second podcast we ever did, and we were talking about the Vikings secondary.
They're terrible. Like, they're absolutely terrible. And here's the other thing, Adam. If Will Fuller is going to sit, or he's not going to play, he's going to be limited, whatever, I think that you could definitively just double-stack Watson still. They're playing Boyd outside right now, over some of their other guys that are injured. Last week, 3 targets, 3 receptions, 118 passer rating. Jeff Gladney is playing in the slot, 18 targets, 12 receptions, 121 passer rating. Like, all of these guys are hot garbage. Like, it doesn't matter. However you want to go in this game, I do have a little bit of interest in David Johnson as well, because the Vikings' run defense has not been great. So even if you wanted to get some differing correlation with going Watson, David Johnson, and say Brandon Cooks, I think there's a lot of different ways that you could stack up this game and run it back with Dalvin on the other side that I really, really like. But any other thoughts on this game before we move on?
I wish Duke Johnson was still out, but he's practicing in full, because David Johnson played over 90% of the snaps last week, but he's still cheap enough to where you can play him here. And yeah, Brandon Cooks against Holton Hill is a really great spot. I mean, Holton Hill has been not good, as you'd probably imagine. 209 yards allowed in coverage, 1 touchdown, 120.6 quarterback rating. 4,500 for Brandon Cooks, I like a lot. And yeah, I'm gonna pair Watson and Fuller in tournaments, and I'll probably run it back with some Adam Thielen. I'm probably not playing Justin Jefferson. It's a really good spot, but I think he's, like, if people are going to be playing Justin Jefferson, I would just rather be underweight on that. There's too many good receivers around that price range. But yeah, this game has a lot of stackability for sure.
Yeah, I'm totally with that. All right, moving on. Colts are heading to the Windy City. They're going to take on the Bears. Right now, the Colts are favored by 2. The over-under sits at 43.
Yeah, so we have Nick Foles, which is cool, and it seems to be good for the offense. For me, this is a game that, like, nobody is a must from this game, but, like, I feel fine about a lot of the prices, right? Like, Jonathan Taylor at 6,600, people are going to point to his usage going down last week, that was strictly because they just, the Jets never put up a fight. Jordan Wilkins got a lot of run in the fourth quarter, and they were safe with Taylor, but the Bears have been run on this year. I mean, Todd Gurley and Brian Hill had production against them. Like, they've been run on this year. I think Jonathan Taylor is as good as or better than any running back they've played so far. And they are in more competitive games, and this is a close spread, Jonathan Taylor will get the ball 20 to 25 times. So I kind of like him. Then it's just kind of like, where else do you want to go? I mean, I'm not playing either quarterback from this game. I know the Colts receivers are banged up, but I still don't really want to go there with T.Y. Hilton or Zach Pascal. Mo Ali Cox has been scoring touchdowns, but he only ran 7 pass routes last week, so I don't think I can go there. Jimmy Graham at 3,800, we have been talking about him. He is a thing. He leads the NFL in end zone targets. He's running a good amount of routes. I think he's top 10 in routes run this year. And Nick Foles has relied on his tight ends a lot. I think 7 of his 10 targets or 9 targets last game came from Nick Foles. So Jimmy Graham might actually be my second favorite play from this game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that this game, I'm gonna pick and choose some one-offs here. David Montgomery, even though I wonder where people are going to go with him this week. Nagy's already come out and talked about, like, well, Tariq Cohen's out. Instead of giving David Montgomery a 3-down workload, we're just going to involve Cordero Patterson some more. So, yeah, Nagy, and he frustrates the absolute hell out of me. So I'm not going to play David Montgomery in this one. I will say that Nick Foles last week went deep a ton, Adam. Like, this guy was going deep on almost over 31% of his passing attempts. Over the small sample, I know we're only talking about a half a game, but that percentage of his passing attempts being deep is first in the NFL right now. So
hashtag
I think
Falcons.
They're going to hashtag anybody. I mean, BDN is going to go down the field. We know that's going to be the case. The Colts are banged up on the offensive side. Like, T.Y. Hilton has been dust. I can't go back there. So for the Colts, it's probably only Jonathan Taylor, which they're just better options on the board, man. Yeah. Like, I think that this game, and you're talking about the Bears, you can run on them. Like, the only reason people have not, like, been crushing them on the ground is because of volume problems. Like, it's not because the Bears' run defense has been good to this point. I mean, if you look at it, they're 30th in explosive run rate allowed. You're talking about Gurley. The ghost of Todd Gurley ran the ball 14 times for 80 yards last week.
Yeah.
Saquon, before he went out, ran 4 times for 28 yards. And then AP ran 14 times for 93 yards. So it's like all of these, like, either injured or dusty as hell running backs are having good games. So, yes, can Jonathan Taylor get there? Because he's probably going to get 20 to 25 carries in this game. My whole problem with that is he's not cheap, and he is around 2 to 3 other running backs that I really, really like this week. Price, and it's popular because people still really, really want to play this dude. He's really got to get 3 touchdowns to burn me, because there are other guys that are a little bit cheaper on this slate that we're going to get to that I have a lot more interest in better game environments. But I like your call on Jimmy Graham, because right now the Colts are 31st in red zone passing defense, and Jimmy Graham has been the red zone dude for the Bears. So as nasty as that sounds on the surface, I think that he's in play, especially if you're going to try to save some salary and go down at tight end. I think that Jimmy Graham is probably one of my favorite guys this week. Any other thoughts before we move on?
Nope.
All right, man. So heading to the Chargers are going to take on Tampa Bay. This over-under sits at 43 right now. It's actually dropped. It was at 45. Tampa is favored by 7. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, we actually got some news about 25 minutes ago. We know Chris Godwin wasn't going to play. He's out. But Leonard Fournette has been practicing. He didn't practice Thursday, and he didn't practice Friday. And I believe the Bucks beat reporter has already come out and said both Godwin and Fournette will be out for this game. So that makes this backfield a little bit more interesting. Scotty Miller did return to practice on Friday, giving him a shot to play. So your receiving, your starting receivers for Tampa Bay look to be Mike Evans, Scotty Miller, assuming he's active, and then Justin Watson. Then you'll have the tight ends. Do you have any interest in Ronald Jones?
Hell no. No.
Yeah, I don't think. Like, I think no. He's a fine seasonal play, but I'm not going there in DFS.
Just no. No. Anybody tuning in right now, or you fast forwarded, Ronald Jones, no. Just no.
Fair enough. This is an interesting game, though, when you look at the guys out for Tampa Bay, because Mike Evans is the clear top option, but he has a tough matchup against Casey Hayward. But at the end of the day, like, he should get 7, 8, 9 targets in this game. He was really involved at the goal line. He was only involved in the goal line, I should say, last game. But you know, I probably won't go there with Mike Evans and DFS on the slate. I don't really like Tampa Bay here, man. Like, the Chargers defense didn't play great against Teddy Bridgewater last week. But, like, I don't see Brady having a huge ceiling without Godwin, right? Like, I don't think Brady and Evans are combining for, like, 150 yards and 3 touchdowns in this game. I'm not crazy about Ronald Jones. You could make the case for Gronk. He's 3,600, coming off a season-high routes and targets last game, and now Godwin's out. But again, your reaction is, you know, that could go. He could go back to a blocking role this game, and O.J. Howard could get the touchdowns. Like, I'd rather play Jimmy Graham, who I know is going to run the routes. You know, it's weird. I think my most interesting play from this game is somebody that people are not going to play because the matchup is bad. But I'll tell you what, man, if Austin Eckler is going to keep getting targets like this from Justin Herbert, Tampa Bay is bottom 3 in targets and receptions allowed per game to running backs. We've seen it the last couple years where their run defense has been elite against guys like Alvin Kamara, where they're good between the tackles, but they give up a lot of production in the passing game. I could see Austin Eckler having that role here in tournaments on full PPR sites like DraftKings that I kind of like. But other than that, like, this is still a solid Tampa Bay defense. The Chargers defense is still solid. Keenan Allen had a ton of targets last game, but it's not a great spot for him. And then Mike Williams probably won't play. Do you play Hunter Henry? Like, I don't love this game.
So the way that you attack Tampa is both of these run defenses are really good. I don't really have a lot of, like, I mean, obviously I'm firmly on team never Ronald Jones. Like, I don't care. I think that he is going to get,
especially if he's popular. He is the ideal player.
He will
to fade
be popular.
Popular.
I'm telling you that right now. Like, with Leonard Fournette logging all these DMPs, Ronald Jones, as long as Fournette's probably going to be out.
Yeah.
If that's the case, people will still love Ronald Jones, and dear God, keep burning your money, and I'll keep not playing him.
Is there a better player to fade in tournaments when they're highly rostered than Ronald Jones? Like, he could literally play 16 snaps if he makes a mistake or two.
He's never going to pay off because he never has. Like, I think, like, one time when he had this outlier game and he got targets and he didn't screw something up, he actually got you there. But past that, he is basically a giant trap. Like, we talk about it all weekly. It's a trap! That's Ronald Jones. Really, if you look up the word trap in the dictionary, his face is right next to it. You don't need to play Ronald Jones ever, ever, ever. And so I don't want any Ronald Jones out of this game. I'm not looking to stack it because I think Herbert's going to have a hard time moving the ball through with this defense. I think that if Herbert is able to move the ball, it's going to be through the air. It's not going to be on the ground. Both of these run defenses are really, really good. And your point about Austin Eckler, I'm probably not going to go there only because there are a lot of running back plays that I like a lot more than Austin Eckler. If he gets there, it's going to be via the pass. It's not going to be on the ground game. And I just don't want to depend on, you know, like the upper echelon of targets, like 10 to 12 targets for Austin Eckler to pay off in multiple touchdowns. I'd rather go with other options that are in better matchups on this slate. I do like Keenan Allen in this spot because Sean Murphy Bunting has been limited in practice thus far this week with groin injury. I think that we saw Herbert just lock in on Keenan Allen. So if Tampa, we've been talking about it, man, their outside corners are good. If Herbert is going to just lock in on Allen for another 15-plus targets, I have some interest this week. Moving over, to the Tampa side, Mike Evans is probably going to see a lot of Casey Hayward. It's not really an avenue that I want to attack. Chris Godwin, we know being out here. Justin Watson and Scotty Miller is also on the injury report. Like, he hasn't practiced thus far this week.
He practiced today.
Oh, he did. Okay. So Miller being back would obviously drop my Watson love. But if Miller somehow is out in this game, I do like Justin Watson at 3,400. He would garner a better matchup. Chris Harris is out.
Yep.
And they're going to be running out Desmond King probably as their slot corner. And Watson, as a guy that could get, you know, 5-plus targets, possibly see anywhere from like 7 to 8, because we know that Tampa Bay is going to throw the ball in this game, especially going against the Chargers run defense. I got some interest in Watson. Like, he's the only one of the few guys down there in the 4K or below range that I really could see a path to a lot of volume and really a successful day. But your thoughts on Watson and there any other for this game?
Yeah, I'm fine with Watson at 3,400. Would prefer Scotty Miller to be out, but I think he can still play him at that price and hope he, you know, gets in the end zone, especially if Mike Evans has a tougher day against Casey Hayward on the outside.
Yeah. All right, man. So moving over to Baltimore is heading to Washington. The over-under is set at 45. It's actually dropped a good bit.
You said the over-under is 45, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so that means they're implying that Baltimore's going to score, what, 42 points? It's impressive.
I mean, dude, the Ravens are favored by 14. So this game is probably just a full fade for me. Like, I don't want to pay up for Lamar Jackson.
I disagree.
I'm not going to do it. I'll give my spiel here. I don't want to pay up for Lamar Jackson. I think that he is going to smash them. But the whole thing is that who is he going to bring with him? We've talked about Hollywood Brown. Could he get behind this defense? Sure. The cornerbacks have been playing well. Mark Andrews, we all know, is always in play. But for this game, I think it's a lot of Lamar Jackson. You don't know who the heck is going to get the run and the running backs. So, I mean, Adam, what are you going to go with? I mean, are you talking Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, I like
Hollywood.
I like Lamar and Mark Andrews stacks because I think Lamar is going to have a huge game. I'm not playing the running backs. I don't really want to play Hollywood right now because, like, could he go off? Yeah, but, like, he'll have to do it on 6 targets.
Who are you going to run it back with? That's my whole problem.
Logan Thomas. I'm not thrilled with it, but I like Logan Thomas here.
Can Haskins throw him a completable ball?
That would be ideal. That would be very ideal. And look, I'm not saying this is, like, my game to target. It's just in tournaments. I think people are going to have the same mindset where it's like they saw the Ravens on Monday night and they're not going to want to pay up in a game that could blow out. And I could be easily wrong, and Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards could do all the work. But, you know, they have a high total. Lamar could run for two and throw for two still. And I think Logan Thomas, like, I just wish they had a somewhat decent quarterback, because the guy's top five among all tight ends in routes, targets, end zone targets. Like, he's as involved as any tight end in the league, but the production hasn't been consistent because Dwayne Haskins is not very good. And I also think, like, the linebackers is all of a sudden where you want, if you're going to target Baltimore's defense at all, it would probably be there. Like, McLaurin's a little banged up with the thigh. He's, I expect him to play, but it's like, okay, you're going to see Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters and whoever. And then, you know, nobody else on this team, you know, Dontrell Inman, these guys aren't winning against these Baltimore corners. So by default, I think Logan Thomas is going to see, you know, 8-10 targets again. He's still really cheap. I just think he's going to hit at 3,500 eventually if he keeps getting this amount of target share, and we know they're going to be playing from behind. So I actually, Logan Thomas is legit one of my favorite tight ends on the slate, especially because he's only 3,500. And you look at other tight ends, like, why am I going to play, you know, Hockenson at 4,800? I know the matchup's better, when his ceiling for targets and opportunities isn't as high as Logan Thomas. Who's, like, Logan Thomas to me should be priced closer to, like, where Austin Hooper is, and he's not.
Yeah, and I get that. I mean, I see he's down at 3,500. My whole thing is, if it comes down to it and you got the salary, are you playing Logan Thomas or are you playing Jimmy Graham?
I'm playing Logan Thomas.
Okay.
That's my and keep in mind, I like Jimmy Graham. I've been talking about him a lot the last week or so. But if Haskins can throw some catchable passes, you know.
That's a big if, dude. That's a big if.
Dude, he missed Terry McLaurin in the corner of the end zone last week, and I was livid. I was so mad.
It's just been bad, man. And I know the Ravens have not been pressuring well. But can we say that the Washington football team offensive line is not, I mean, they're basically a pushover?
Also, I forgot to mention this in the injuries, but if you want to even more of a case for Lamar Jackson, Chase Young is out and Matt Ioannidis is out for the year. So this vaunted Washington pass rush, which still is deep, just lost two of their best players. So,
well, here, okay, let me quantify this a little bit better. I would not have a problem with people rolling out Lamar Jackson. But the whole thing is that, like, it's just not how I usually build my teams. Like,
same for me. It's like, I play mostly tournaments, but I do think this is a slate, especially because this is the first time we've really had a loaded quarterback slate. Like, we've had some primetime Mahomes games. We had Mahomes and Lamar in primetime. So you have every quarterback except for, what, Rodgers and Matt Ryan on the main slate here. So I think Lamar, after that bad game, 8,100 as huge favorites, people will just be like, oh, you know, Baltimore's going to run the ball down their throat and Lamar will throw 22 times. But I think there's a path to him scoring like 5 total touchdowns. Like the matchup, I don't want to say the matchup's that good, just the game environment's that good. And I think he's going to have one of those games where he's hearing people talk about, oh, has the NFL figured out Lamar Jackson? I think he's going to go off.
Well, I think he could go off in this one. My whole thing is the price with him. We're going to get to some really, really cheap quarterbacks that allow you to do a whole lot of things. So, if you're going to go Lamar, it's naked, and that's the problem that I have, because I want correlation.
Right.
I want to double stack my quarterbacks a lot of times and have somebody on the other side that I can run it back with. One, I don't see anybody that I want to double stack Lamar with, and two, there is no Washington player that I know you're talking to Logan Thomas, and I get it. I can actually, like, I can see the path a little bit more that you laid it out, but there's not a lot of bodies on the Washington side that I really want to run it back with. So this game just is probably going to be one that I just avoid. So moving over to Arizona is traveling to Carolina.
So excited.
And
so excited.
All right. So Arizona is traveling to Carolina. The over-under sits at 51.5. Arizona is favored by 3.5. Adam, with all your exuberance, I'm going to let you lead this one off.
DJ Moore week, baby. Let's go. Let's go.
Yes.
All right. So Cooper Kupp was the guy last week. That paid off. It is DJ Moore this week. 1,000%. You know, you know the feeling, right? You're going through research for articles and you're writing stuff down and you just find that perfect spot, that perfect correlation, the perfect play. That's what happened to me when I was looking at DJ Moore this week. I hate that he's 5,600 because I've seen him picking up steam already this week, but my goodness.
Oh, he's going to be popular. I know. He's going to be popular.
And it sucks, but I don't care because he's like $800 too cheap. The matchup is great. He's not going to see exclusively coverage from Pat P. Although, even if he did, I wouldn't care. Because, like, Pat P's good, but he's not somebody I'm afraid of. But he's going to see Drake Kirkpatrick. Drake Kirkpatrick's not great. He has, like, 4.6 40 time, and DJ Moore is quite fast. The Cardinals are awful against receivers. Line up on the left side of the formation. That's where DJ Moore lines up most of the time. They allow the 6 most yards per game to receivers on the left side of the formation. DJ Moore has 47% of the team's air yards, third highest rate among all receivers, which tells me he's due for a big game. I absolutely love DJ Moore. He is my favorite play of the entire slate.
I love it, man. I'm with you. I like Teddy B in this game, too. And to your point about Patrick Peterson, the Cardinals have been playing sides with their corners. So you're seeing right now Patrick Peterson and Kirkpatrick are playing their sides over 60 to 65% of the time. So I don't think that DJ Moore is going to see any or possibly at all any coverage from Peterson. I think that's going to be Robbie Anderson.
Sorry, I wrote up in my Prize Picks article about Robbie Anderson because, you know, Pat P is he the unquestioned best corner in the NFL anymore? No, but he's still good, and the Cardinals are allowing the second fewest fantasy points per game to receivers on the right side of the formation, where Pat P would be because he's the left cornerback. So that it just sets up so well for DJ Moore here.
Yeah, I think DJ Moore is going to get all the targets that he can handle in this game. Like, I love him as a play. I think that he's going to crush. He's going to smash. Like, I'm totally fine with playing him, even though I think, like we're talking about, I think that he is going to be immensely, immensely popular this week. But I don't have a problem playing him regardless because the price is there. The matchup is there. You're talking about Kirkpatrick. He has been – you could beat him deep, man. That's how you attack Kirkpatrick. Teddy, when he has gone down the field, has been immensely accurate in doing so. I don't have a lot of interest in Robbie in this game. If you're going to get weird with it, I actually think that you double stack Teddy with Mike Davis and then DJ Moore in this game because the way that you attack the Cardinals is with running backs through the air. And they've only allowed 13 receptions. So you're talking about they've allowed over 200 yards receiving to running backs on only 13 receptions. Mike Davis is tied with DJ Moore over the last 2 weeks with a 25% target share. Dude, yeah, like, I have a lot of interest in Mike Davis. Like, he's sub 6K. He's probably – I don't really care if he gets a lot of roster percentage this week because the thing of it is that you don't worry about running backs and the roster percentage as much as you do with wide receivers. And people are going to say, why are you – why? Just tell me why. And from a game theory perspective – there's so much more volatility with wide receivers and how many targets are going to see a game in many, many spots, much less the volatility of just passing games. And you're talking about most wide receivers are going to see 9 to maybe 12 opportunities in a game. Now, how often they convert those, there's more volatility with that versus a running back that's going to see what? So just on sheer volume, yes, I'm more likely to eat the chalk on running backs week in and week out in smash spots versus wide receivers that are getting a lot of popularity on slate. So in this game, man, I think it's Teddy. I think it's Mike Davis. If you wanted to go Robbie, I'm not going to tell you no because we know where the ball is going to go with Carolina. It's going to be Teddy. It's going to be DJ Moore. It's going to be Robbie. It's going to be Mike Davis. And that's basically it. Now, over on the Arizona side, Hopkins, what's the last report we've seen about Hopkins? I know he popped up on the injury report. What's the status on him and Christian Kirk right now?
Yeah, Hopkins hasn't been practicing prior to Friday. And then I think I saw general manager Steve Kime said they're going to leave it up to him. So if that's the case, I mean, we've seen Hopkins miss days for practice during his time with the Texans and always play. I'd be shocked if he didn't play, but it doesn't sound like it's a maintenance thing. It sounds like he's legitimately banged up. So I guess that's something to keep an eye on, especially because he is the highest priced receiver on the slate at 8,500. Christian Kirk is also limited in practice lately. We'll have to see if he can get back in there. I'll have to see what his practice report was on Friday, but he was limited on Thursday.
Yeah, and so depending on, like, if Hopkins is, if reports are trending more, and in listening to this episode, this is also to say, like, you still need to monitor, reports on Saturday and Sunday as far as pregame workouts and stuff of that nature. So if Hopkins is going to play, I have some interest there. I also have interest in Kirk. Really, where you go on the Arizona side is going to depend on as far as what happens with the injuries and stuff. And I know I'm kind of burying the lead here. People are going to knee-jerk want to play Andy Isabella, and I don't have any interest unless Hopkins is out. Because Keyshawn Johnson still got more run, more snaps, ran more pass routes than Isabella. And people are going to talk about it and be like, they're going to look at his stat line, and he's going to be popular. Dude only ran 15 routes compared to Johnson's 29 last week. He played 40% of the snaps. He just converted and did great with what he was given. So unless you're looking at Hopkins and Kirk are out, full-time role, I'm going to fade Isabella. And I think one of the most popular plays out of this game that we haven't even discussed yet, and I think that he's probably a trap, is Kenyon Drake. People are still on the narrative of Carolina is a bad run defense. They are not great. I'm not going to tell you that they're great. But Arizona has been struggling to block as far as rushing. And Carolina has not been great in defending the run. But Kenyon Drake is a guy that we've seen him get the volume. He's not doing a whole lot with it. Kyler is always in play to vulture him at the goal line or just to take one for a long rushing touchdown. Chase Edmonds, yes, Kenyon Drake has been getting the run. He's run a ton more pass routes than Chase Edmonds. But for the life of me, Adam, like we talked about it on the trade episode a few weeks ago about like to trade for Kenyon Drake because the usage was there. The usage is there, dude, but he's not doing anything with it. He's not breaking tackles. They're not blocking for him well. When he is running pass routes, it's like Kyler's not even looking in his direction. Like Chase Edmonds has vastly out-targeted this dude on far fewer routes. So I, as much as I want to play Kenyon Drake, there are two things here. If I think that, one, he's going to be popular. If anything happens and it comes out that, like, Hopkins is not going to play and Kirk is banged up, his popularity is going to soar. And really, it kind of leads me off of him, man. Like, I don't know that the passing game role is going to be there. I think that he's going to be really, really popular. So what kind of leverage are you gaining on the field? If we find out that Hopkins or Kirk are limited or out, it's probably going to lead me more to Isabella or one of these other options in the passing game, or I'm just going to play Carolina and not have a run back.
I am fine with Drake because his price didn't move. His ceiling will not be able to be unlocked if Hopkins plays. Like Hopkins, the addition of Hopkins has crushed Kenyon Drake's pass catching upside. He has like five targets through three games, and Hopkins has like a 36% target share. So if Hopkins sits, I like Drake even more. I mean, there are like a lot of detractors though. I mean, the Panthers, yes, they've allowed multiple rushing touchdowns in seven of their last eight games, but Kyler's going to take scoring opportunities on the ground from him. And the pass catching upside has not been there. So I'm fine with him at 6K, but like even in this spot, like he is not anywhere near a priority. Just because like he's probably going to get 20 carries, but you know, if he has 20 carries for 96 yards and no touchdowns and one catch, like it's not going to do it for me.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm going with this game. I mean, there are other running backs in the 6K range that I love this week, and Drake just isn't making the cut, man. I think my running back pool is going to be very, very narrow this week. So, all right, man, let's move on. Jacksonville is heading to Cincinnati. You have Cincinnati is favored by 3 in this game. The over-under has actually climbed just a touch. It's at 49 right now. I have a lot of interest in this game. I think that this game is going to go overlooked on the slate. And, dude, we know what Cincinnati wants to do. They want to throw the ball. I think my favorite plays out of this entire game, whether you want it to go, and I'm starting off with T. Higgins because I think that he's going to garner like a full-time role. I think A.J. Green is dust. I think that on the Cincinnati side, my favorite plays are Burrow and Tyler Boyd because DJ Hayden has been terrible in slot coverage. So it's Burrow. If you wanted to double stack him, it's Burrow, Boyd, and Higgins. I'm seeing out on Twitter that people want to play Joe Mixon. And for the life of me, I do not understand why in the heck people want to play Joe Mixon in this spot. Like, can you illuminate that for me, Adam? Like, why in the heck would people make a case for Joe Mixon before I absolutely just destroy it? Or do you have any love for him in this one?
This is awkward. I don't love Joe Mixon. I will play him.
Are you going to play him?
I am.
No!
Here's why. I just think this is the last straw for me with Joe Mixon. I think everything that's happened to Joe Mixon so far this year is not on Joe Mixon. I think this is a spot where they shouldn't be chasing points in a huge way. He's still been getting a ton of carries, and I know the Bengals' run blocking has been terrible. This seems like a spot where they could get it done. He's under 6K. Nobody's going to want to play him. And again, you got to keep in mind and remember that I'm mostly a tournament player. But I will say at the same time, like, I have interest in Mixon, but he is not my favorite player from this game, not by a long shot. I agree with you. I like this game a lot. And we did get some injury news. DJ Chark missed last Thursday's game with a chest injury. He's been practicing in a non-contact jersey, but head coach Doug Marone said they expect him to play, and he should be good to go for this game.
All right, so I love you, dude. I absolutely love you, but I gotta crap on your take here. I don't want any Joe Mixon, and the fact of it is that Jacksonville, they were really bad against in run defense last year. They have been really, really good so far to start this year. I mean, they are 6th in adjusted line yards allowed, 10th in second level, and 8th in open field yards allowed. For Joe Mixon, rest his soul, he is running behind a terrible offensive line.
Yeah,
we've seen Burrow get blown up weekly. I think that Jacksonville is not going to have any Cincinnati is not going to have any success trying to run the ball against this Jaguars front. I have a lot more interest in Cincinnati's passing attack. I think that they could be trailing in this game. Like, I get that they're favored, but it's a really, really close spread. I think that Jacksonville could actually take the lead in this one. I like the Jaguars a lot in this game. I don't think that Minshew is going to garner a lot of passing volume to really give him a ceiling in this one. I like that DJ Chark is back, but my favorite play on the Jacksonville side is James Robinson.
Dude, he's like, the GOAT.
He is going to crush this.
He's the unquestioned GOAT. Like, I love James Robinson so much.
He is going to crush, dude. Like, he is one of my favorite plays out of this entire slate. Like, you see Jacksonville, dude, they are 8th in adjusted line yards generated right now. And we know that Robinson is not losing any kind of work. I know we saw Thompson involved a little bit more last week. But I think that James Robinson could go overlooked here. I'm not going to be surprised. People are just going to go to other plays. Like, if they're going to play Joe Mixon over James Robinson, like, I don't know what to tell people. Because I think that's a really, really bad call. Just looking at the matchups here, dude. Cincinnati has been bad versus the run, 23rd in adjusted line yards, 27th and 25th in second in open field yards allowed. I think James Robinson could absolutely crush in this one. Like, I think that he's got like 30. Like, we saw he got 25 plus points in the last game. I think that James Robinson putting up like a 30 point burger in this one is definitively in play. I love, love, love him.
Yes. There are two players in the NFL this year that have seen 100% of their team's carries from inside the 5-yard line. It's Derrick Henry and it's James Robinson. James Robinson, 78% of the non-quarterback rushing attempts. And the reason I said non-quarterback rushing attempts is because Laviska Shenault's seen a handful of carries this year. Nearly 18 touches per game. He's top 10 in yards per touch. I tweeted last night, dude, he reminds me a lot of Alfred Morris. You know, they have similar, you know, speed scores and everything like that, but just the way he plays too. And he's been really good as a pass catcher. Like, the thing I like about him is, like, he gets the ball and he knows exactly where he's going. Like, he doesn't, you know, he's not indecisive. Like, he knows where he's going immediately. Bengals, 3rd most rushing touchdowns allowed per game in the NFL. Every down roll for James Robinson. And, like, he got it done in a negative game script on Thursday night against Miami. So you have to feel great about James Robinson right now. I like Minshew and Shark and Stacks too. Like, we could see a lot of deep passing in this game. These are two of the worst deep passing defenses in the NFL. So I like Burrow and Higgins or Boyd, and I like Minshew and DJ Shark, who is going to have, like, I know people have been upset about him, but he's caught every target he's had. He's not going to go the whole season getting, like, 4 targets a game in this offense. It's just not going to happen, especially last week when Chris Conley crushed them. They had nothing in a deep passing game last week against Miami. Like, they're gonna need DJ Shark.
People are going to rush to play him because we know the injury concerns. We just saw the Jaguars struggle to even pass the ball. So if you're going full game stack, I think that James Robinson is my favorite play on that side. But I do like the DJ Chark call. I think that we could see him come out, and even if he gets six targets, he could take one deep to the house. I'm not worried so much about the Cincinnati corners. But yeah, any other thoughts before we move on?
No, I will say, before we get to the next game, Kareem Hunt is expected to play. We got that news a little bit ago. He's practicing today, and they expect him to play. So,
okay.
Nick Chubb.
Yeah, I mean, then Chubb's in play, but yeah, I mean, with the game script that could happen in that game, I think you just don't know who's going to get the run. So this over-under sits at 53.5. Seattle is favored by 6.5. Dude, this is the game. You just play all the dudes. Like, Russell Wilson's in play. Lockett, DK Metcalf, all in play. I actually really, really love the Miami side in this one because both of these run defenses are really, really stinking good. Like, I don't have any interest in any of the running backs. I think Gaskin, Chris Carson, if he plays, any of those running backs are just going to run into brick walls all day. I think both of these teams are going to take to the air. I opt slot wide receivers to save their lives. If you're looking at Mike Gesicki as a slot wide receiver, which if you're not at this point, honey, I don't know what to tell you because that's what the dude is doing. Basically, he is Chan Gailey's new Eric Decker. He is only lining up as an inline tight end on 12% of his snaps. Seattle is legit the worst team in the NFL at covering the slot. So, dude, for me, Fitzpatrick is I don't care if he's popular. I think that he is a great play on this slate because he is going to unlock so many plays for you because his pricing on DK is ridiculously low. It's Fitzpatrick stacking with Parker, who is going to face Shaquille Griffin, who can't stop anybody to save his life. So it's the Beard, Parker, Gesicki, and however many Seahawks you want to play on the other side. If you want to run it back with Lockett and DK and go full game stack, baby, I'm not going to tell you no because we know where the ball is going to go for Seattle. But Adam, I mean, dude, it's play all the dudes in this game. Any other thoughts on this one?
Nah, I don't. I'm fading this. I don't like this game. Nah, I'm dude, like, first three players I put in my lineup when I was first building lineups when I was looking at the slate, initially when the slate came out, DJ Moore, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Mike Gesicki. I saw people talking about they're worried about Gesicki's snaps on Thursday night, and I'm like, do y'all understand they ran the ball or they threw the ball 20 times? Like, he ain't blocking, and they're not running the ball 20 times, or they're not throwing the ball 20 times in this game. 78% of his snaps in the slot, highest rate among all tight ends. Seattle, if you look at our advanced DVP tool, the most yards and receptions allowed per game to slot receivers. I love Mike Gesicki and Ryan Fitzpatrick and Devontae Parker too. I mean, Shaquille Griffin has allowed the most yards in coverage among any cornerback this year in the NFL. So I think you can stack all three if you wanted to. Like, that's where the ball's going. Fitzpatrick, with the way Russell Wilson and the Seattle offense is playing, should have to throw the ball 40 plus times here. And it's a really inexpensive stack too. And you know who to run it back with. Like, that's why this game is so good, because you know who's getting the ball, right? It's Russ. It's that dominant trio of Russ, Lockett, and Metcalf right now. And, like, especially with Carson's knee, like, he's expected to, he has a good chance of playing, but I don't think they're going to want to give him a huge workload after that scare.
Yeah, I'm with you. And Miami's actually, like, I mean, they could run the ball on Miami. I just don't think that, like, I think they're going to pass the ball. I think they're going to attack these corners. I'm all with it.
We forgot to even mention this, right? Seattle is allowed, I think, the second most total yards through three games in NFL history. And now Jamal Adams is probably not going to play. Jamal Adams, obviously, can do it all in coverage, but this is also a team that does not generate pressure. And Jamal Adams was the guy bringing pressure for them. And now he's not there. So, yeah, I mean, if they were getting lit up with Jamal Adams, I know they're playing Miami, but this defense is brutal.
Well, okay, so I am never, ever, usually ever a proponent of double tight end, okay? I'm going to say this, and oh, good gosh, I hope everybody else at FDN doesn't hear me say this because we always usually crap on double tight ends. But Mike Gesicki is not a tight end.
That's what I'm saying.
You get tight end eligibility, and at 5,100, He is a slot wide receiver that you are playing at 5,100. If you want to play him in the flex, I am not opposed to that because you're playing a wide receiver in the flex. You're not playing a tight end in the flex.
Yeah, like,
and
like,
he has wide receiver upside. So if people want to go that direction, I'm not opposed to it because as a wide receiver, he is grossly mispriced.
Yeah, like I was going to say, like, what's the difference between the only thing that makes it seem less appealing is a position tag, right? But, like, why would I flex someone like Marquise Brown who, yes, massive upside, great player, but he's getting six targets? Like, Gesicki's a quote-unquote tight end, but he's going to run a ton of routes and play in the slot and see 8 to 10 targets. Like, this is, like, that's such a good point because Mike Gesicki, I don't know how many times we have to say it, is not viewed as a tight end by the Miami Dolphins. He's not blocking. That's why you saw on Thursday night, it was, you know, he didn't play that many snaps because they ran the ball so much, and you saw a lot of Shaheen and Durham Smythe. Like, that's not going to happen this game.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. So moving over, Giants are heading to play the Rams. You have the Rams are favored by 13. The over-under's actually climbed in this game a little bit. It's gone up from, like, I want to say it opened at 47. It's now up to 48. What are your thoughts on this game?
Darrell Henderson seems pretty nice. I have a feeling you're going to like him. Cam Akers, once again, going to be out. And I love seeing your Twitter when Sean McVay says, yeah, Cam's day-to-day. Like,
Dude, he's so full of it. Sean McVay is absolutely full of it, man. I don't mean to steamroll you, but you brought it up.
He hasn't practiced once.
Dude, oh God. I hate it when coaches lie, and I hate it when coaches play games. Like, I get it, I understand it, but who the heck do you think you're fooling? Like, we've seen McVay lie to the media, like, Todd Gurley's knee is totally fine, I promise you,
he just
like,
turned
come
into,
on, man!
He just turned into the Pinocchio from Shrek. I like that.
Dude, it's terrible! McVay is lying through his teeth. I think Akers has a fractured rib, and they just might as well go ahead and put him on the IR. You're not fooling anybody in saying that, oh, he's day-to-day. Oh, he's more doubtful. Oh, he's not going to play. Oh, gosh, I'm so surprised by all these headlines. Like, Henderson is going to start this game. Absolutely. What are your thoughts on Henderson? Do you like him in this spot? Because I actually don't like him that much.
I'm not crazy about him. Personally, I love how he's played. I think he's going to have every opportunity because the Rams are calling run at the highest rate in the NFL. But I think there's guys that, like, Mike Davis probably has a higher ceiling because he's going to catch the ball 5-6 times. He's $100 cheaper. You have David Johnson down there at 5,600. Like, if you get to Darrell Henderson, like, he'd probably be one or two on this game for me in terms of just overall plays. But, you know, Malcolm Brown's probably still going to get 8 to 10 touches, I would imagine. I'm okay with him, but I don't think he's, like, you know, it's not as appealing as last week when there was an edge that you were all over Darrell Henderson. There was an edge because there's still some concern about the touches. You know, I think more people will be on him this week after he's been talked about a lot on Twitter.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like, I think that he's even more popular. Nobody wanted to play him last week. Malcolm Brown has another week to let his finger heal up. I think that we could see him involved a little bit more. My whole thing with all of it is that I think people are going to shy away from the passing game in this one because they're going to look at the fact that the Rams are favored by so much. And the Giants, you don't attack them on the ground. Like, they have been very good, at least in the early going, against opposing running backs. And we have come out here, I've talked about it and preached about it religiously. It's not that the Rams are not run blocking well. They're one of the best run blocking offensive lines in the game right now. It's just, I think that the way that Sean McVay attacks this team is via the pass. And people are like, oh, they're going to point to, okay, well, the Rams are just immensely favored in this game. And I'm not worried about that because if you look at how, and this is going into, so you need to go check out every week my splits, utilizing our splits tool over at FTN Daily, is free, comes out Friday. This is going in my article, so go check this out when this hits live today. Since 2017, in the six games that the Rams have been favored by 10 or more, people are going to talk about, okay, well, they're favored, and Darrell Henderson went out there and he ran the ball a ton. Sean McVay has not gone away from passing the ball. Like, they have still chucked the ball. Like, in the 49 games where that, you know, they haven't been favored by this much, they've averaged 35 passing attempts. In the 6 games they've been favored by 10 or more, their passing attempts have actually gone up. Like, they've gone up from 35 to 37. And that might not sound like a lot, but if you look at the passing yardage, like, dude, they're averaging 259 yards per game in games that where they are favored by less than 10. In games where they are favored by more than 10, it jumps to 317. So this is a game that I think the pace is going to be good. This is actually one of my favorite games on the slate because I think the pace is going to be good. I think that there are avenues to attack because Henderson's gaining some steam and people are going to shy away from Cooper Kupp, even though, like, you saw him smash last week. If you don't like him, I don't really understand what you're looking at because you're not looking at the right things, apparently, because the Giants, their corners have not played immensely well, like, thus far this season. We saw James Bradberry get smoked in week one. He's played better in the weeks after that. But if you look at the other cornerbacks for the Giants, they're not great. They have not been shut down. Like, Darnay Holmes in the slot, 16 targets, 12 receptions. He's allowed 145 yards and a 102 passer rating. I think this is a week you go back to Cooper Kupp, especially if nobody wants to play him, they want to play Henderson, then you're getting leverage on that. Not a lot of people are going to look at this game and say, okay, let's stack this game up. And so I think Robert Woods can succeed versus any corner in the NFL. I'm not worried about him. So if you wanted to go Goff, Kupp, and Woods and run it back, I don't have any interest in Tyler Higbee in this game. Not a lot because they're running a lot more 11. I think they're involving Kupp more weekly. And honestly, Golden Tate, I love in this game.
Yep.
No Sterling Shepard. He's going to get a ton of targets. We saw Cole Beasley go for over 100 versus Troy Hill. Troy Hill in the slot has been terrible. Nothing short of terrible in this game. More targets going his way as well because Ramsey is going to follow Slayton all the way across the field. But I know people would possibly want to go with maybe the Giants or a Giants running back in this one because the Rams have been bad. The Rams have been bad against the run. And the only reason I bring it up is because the Rams have not defended the run well. I mean, we saw Singletary run all over them last week, but yeah, I'm with you.
They've also faced good running backs, too. Like, they faced Singletary, they faced Miles Sanders, and they faced Zeke. And I don't think any of these three running backs are good. I think this game is, like, a lot of really high floor options, right? We know Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp have immense floors. Golden Tate with Sterling Shepard out should have a high floor. Same with Daryl Henderson with how much they're running the ball. And I've termed interest in Evan Ingram just because, like, at some point, this dude's got to have a big game, right? Like, he's so explosive, so athletic, and there's just not a lot of options in the passing game right now. So in tournaments, I'm probably going to keep playing Evan Ingram until he goes off, and I'll probably just keep losing money, I guess. But if I'm not stacking this game, though, I have no interest in Jared Goff simply because of his price. Like, I'd rather play Deshaun Watson. I'd rather play Joe Burrow, some guys that are priced around him. But if you are stacking, I mean, you know exactly where to go with Jared Goff. And he's actually played pretty well. I think the fact that they're running the ball a lot better this year has been huge for their play action because if you watch the Rams, whenever they run a play on play action, they get 15, 20 yards. You saw it in week one against Dallas with Robert Woods. You saw it last week against Buffalo where it was a lot of play action to Cooper Kupp and Gerald Everett. So I love the fact that this running game and the improvement in the offensive line is setting up the play action and making Jared Goff. Like, if you can run the ball in a Sean McVay offense, you're going to be able to just do whatever you want because it sets up everything else.
Yeah, no disagreement. I think this game is going to go overlooked a little bit, and even if you don't want to stack this game up, like you're talking about, you don't want to pay up for Goff, I think that Kupp is going to be a great, great play again this week. Like, I absolutely love him. All right, moving over to Buffalo is heading to Las Vegas. The over-under sits at 52.5. The Bills are only favored by 3 in this game. So I think that needs to be brought up here because they're giving the Raiders putting up some points in this game. And I like this game a good bit, Adam. I don't know if I'm going to stack this game. I think Singletary, depending on what happens with Moss, I know at least last reports, you can kind of jump into this, is the resident Bills homer. I know you probably have been reading every report that's come out.
Yeah, Zach Moss just texted me, actually. He's playing. No, he's been practicing and sounds like he has a good shot to play.
So, yeah, I mean, if anything changes with that, if Moss is ruled out for whatever reason, Devin Singletary would be immensely popular. I don't have any love in Singletary. I didn't last week. I don't this week. One, because if he does get popular, two, dude, how many times do people need to see it? He's going to get touches regardless, especially if Moss is out. And it's just empty calorie touches. Like, he's not going to get the work near the goal line. So I love Josh Allen in this spot. You could run on the Raiders. Their defensive line has been terrible. So that means Josh Allen smash again this week. I like Stephon Diggs in this spot. Like, the Raiders' corners are just bad. Like, they can't cover him. Jalen Ramsey couldn't even cover him for a touchdown last week. So if Brown is going to be limited in this game, it's going to make me have more interest. I already like Stephon Diggs in this spot, but my interest would climb even more. I think that it's within the realm of possibilities. You could double stack Allen with Beasley and Diggs in this game. And I kind of bury the lead here. One of my favorite plays, because Ruggs is not going to play, Edwards is not going to play, I got a lot of love for Hunter Renfrow, the IT specialist in this game. Teron Johnson has been hashtag terrible, just bad in coverage in the slot for the Bills. So as a one-off play, heck, if you're stacking this game, for me, it's really Renfrow. I don't have a lot of interest in Waller. He's been lining up in line. I don't think that this is a massive, massive Waller game. I could see Renfrow go off here, though. Any thoughts, Adam? Where do you stand with all these guys?
I mean, you like Renfrow for the same reason we told you guys to play Cooper Kupp last week. And you may say, okay, Cooper Kupp's more involved. Like, Brian Edwards and Henry Ruggs aren't playing this game. I don't know where else they're going with the football. Like, they're not going to force feed Nelson Aguilar targets. Zay Jones is not going to win against Trey White if he has to go up against him. That's just not going to happen. So it's the same situation, essentially. And except Renfrow is 4,600, where Kupp was like 6,100 or something last week. So definitely like Hunter Renfrow. I like Josh Jacobs in tournaments. I do think you can run on Buffalo. We saw it last week. Darrell Henderson just had massive holes. And the Raiders' offensive line has been playing fine, too. I think Jacobs in tournaments is going to go overlooked. And I really like him at, 6,800? So it's Jacobs and Renfrow for me from the Raiders' side. For Buffalo, I mean, yeah, Stephon Diggs, you can't pick five receivers in the NFL that have been playing better at receiver than Stephon Diggs right now. He's locked in. Josh Allen's locked in. I like that stack. Singletary is really good. I hope they keep giving him the majority of the touches, even if Zach Moss is back. But yeah, I just, at 6K, if Moss is taking 6 to 8 carries in the goal line work, it's just not a lot of upside left for Devin Singletary. If John Brown has a setback or something and doesn't play, you can go to Cole Beasley. You can also go to Gabriel Davis at 3,200. They were drawing up a lot of screens for him last game with John Brown out in the second half, and he looked really good.
Yeah, I like it. My only reason I didn't bring up Jacobs at the very beginning is because I do have a little bit of concern. I think you can run on Buffalo. Like, we were all in on Henderson last week versus them. I do think you can run on Buffalo. My problem with Jacobs is that we've seen him in some good matchups, like even versus the Panthers. I worry about the health of the Raiders line right now. Like, they've been banged up right tackle wise, incognito. All of their guys have been dealing with some health concerns. So
yeah,
there are other running backs. His price point isn't bad. You know, yeah, he's going to get
and the
work.
Bills don't have that like run stuffing D tackle. Like, Star Latulé opted out, and they haven't really had that guy to just kind of clog the holes. And now Ed Oliver, who's more known as a pass rusher, but he's just kind of an all-around great D-lineman. He didn't practice on Thursday. He could miss this game. So that, the Bills D-line would be hurting a little bit. Jerry Hughes has been a really good pass rusher, but he's not known for, like, stuffing the run. So, like, that's why I think Buffalo struggled to stop the run, because they don't have that presence in their interior of their defensive line.
Yeah, no disagreement there. All right, moving over to the Patriots are heading to Kansas City. Right now, the over-under sits at 53. Kansas City is favored by 7. What are your thoughts on this game? Like, I got a lot of concerns on Cam, but what do you think, man?
This game's kind of not as exciting as I thought. Like, you can play Cam. I think he'll be fine. But, again, I like a lot of other quarterbacks. Like, I'd rather play Deshaun Watson and Joe Burrow, who are priced right around him. You have the running back situation where Rex Burkhead was awesome last week, but James White's probably going to – it looks like James White is going to play. He was practicing after being away from the team with that awful tragedy. So, like, that would just make – and Damian Harris is practicing too. Like, I don't – these guys aren't all going to be active. Like, J.J. Taylor or Harris will probably be a healthy scratch. But, like, J.J. Taylor's played well. Michelle is still going to be involved. Rex Burkhead's going to be involved. James White's back now. So that takes me off the backfield. I could see a 3K punt with Damier Bird because he's playing so many snaps if you need that type of value. But, like, the Chiefs have been so good against perimeter receivers this year, and despite being banged up at corner. Like, that's been the one of the strong points of their defense. Like, they've been, you know, bad against running backs, but they can really, really do well against – they've done well against, you know, great receivers, and, you know, the Patriots receivers definitely aren't great. So, I don't really like anybody from New England. And then Kansas City, like, yeah, Patrick Mahomes can do what he did last week against anybody. If you want to sprinkle him in tournaments, I'm fine with that. But who do you stack him with? Because we've seen Bill Belichick in the past take away Travis Kelce, or at least try to. That would bode well for Tyreek Hill or somebody. Tyreek Hill might see Stephon Gilmore. I like Clyde. He's probably my favorite play from this game. I think he's too cheap at 6,400. The pass catching. Go ahead. The pass catching role is growing for him, and he's getting all the goal line work.
So I don't have any interest in Cam in this game. I think that what you saw Kansas City do to Lamar Jackson is the same thing they're going to do to Cam. And they yes, I know that. Well, my whole thing is that, like, yes, you know that, like, okay, people can say, well, it's recency. You're just going off a last game. It's like, dude, I have my concerns about the write-up that I had for that game, and you know that I had my concerns on Lamar Jackson walking into that game because Kansas City is doing two things incredibly well on the defensive side right now. They are limiting deep passing. They're top five in the NFL versus it over the last two seasons. So don't come at me with, it's a 3K sample size. They did it all last year too. So Kansas City is really, really good. Their corners are playing really, really well. So they're doing that as well as they got Mike Pinnell back. They are limiting rushing production. We saw it last week. And they are immensely good at getting pressure on the quarterback, and Cam has been under fire this year. I know that he has not taken a lot of sacks, but you could chalk that up to his mobility and not the fact that they've allowed him to not be under duress. So I got concerns on Cam. If I'm going to go with a Patriots guy, it's going to be Julian Edelman. Like, over his last three games versus Kansas City, he's averaging 81 receiving yards, 9.6 targets. And I understand that people are going to talk about, yes, that's with Brady. But Cam is going to have to throw the ball in this game. They're going to be pushed to do so because I think Kansas City can put up some points here. And I like Mahomes in this matchup. I don't know if I'm going to get there in tournaments just because of his price. If you're going to stack this game up, man, CEH is the first place I start. Mm-hmm. It's the first place I'm going to start in this game because if you look at what Reed has done to attack Coach Bill's defense in the last two of the last three meetings, and I'm willing to throw the most recent game out of there because they were running out a running back core of LeSean McCoy and Spencer Ware. Like, that's just, it's bad. If you look at the other two matchups prior to that, Damian Williams went the hell off. He had 66 receiving yards, two touchdowns in that game. The game before that, Kareem Hunt went over 100 receiving yards and had a touchdown in that game. So I think you're going to see all the targets that Clyde Edwards-Helaire can handle in this game. We've already seen him have some run in the passing game. It wasn't last week or the week before. I want to say he got 8 targets off the top of my head. And so I'm here for it, man. I think Mahomes and CEH is where you start your builds in this game. And really, it just comes down to, dude, like, we've seen Bill Belichick take away tight ends. We've seen him try to take away Tyreek Hill. We've seen Tyreek and Kelce have good games versus the Patriots. It really depends on which one because they're basically priced the same, Adam. Like, they're Tyreek's at 6,900, Kelce's at 6,800. I lean Tyreek in this game only because if you're looking at just immense ceiling, Kelce can have a really good game in this one. But as far as slate-breaking upside, that's Tyreek Hill. So if I'm going to, like, try to pick one of the guys that's going to I'm going to pair with Mahomes outside of CEH, I don't have a lot of interest in Hardman. I don't have any interest in Sammy Watkins. Like, he's the king of dust. I'm not going to go with him. And I think if you're really kind of flipping a coin and putting it down on who do you think that Mahomes looks to attack. And it could really just be they use CEH a crap ton and spread the ball around behind him. But if somebody's going to pin me to the wall and say, okay, you must select one of Kelce or Tyreek this week for your Kansas City stack, it's going to be Tyreek Hill for me because nobody can stay with that dude. And we've seen the Patriots secondary is not as shut down as they were last year. Like, Gilmore has shown he can be beat a little bit. Same thing with J.C. Jackson and Jonathan Jones. Yeah. Like, these guys have shown.
And they play a lot of man, so it's like,
yep,
Tyreek can just burn anybody and then all of a sudden, you know, see you later. So I agree, though. CEH is the best player from this game. I don't think it's really close either.
No, I think that he's my favorite play out of this game. If people wanted to go with James White in this game, I'm not going to argue with him. I think that he's going to get run in this game, play as, you know, a second guy from New England side if you're going to go that direction. All right, man, moving on. So let's hit these last two games pretty quick here. Philly is heading to San Francisco. Right now the over-under is at 46. San Francisco's favored by 7. This game's really nasty. I mean, on Sunday night, George Kittle was trending towards playing. This game is really just going to be, like, I think it's going to be slow. I think Carson Wentz is going to struggle again. I think that out of anybody in this game with all of the injuries, my favorite play out of this entire game is probably going to be Zach Ertz because I think he's going to get the most targets out of this game. And then if you wanted to, you know, if you're playing showdown and you wanted to go Wentz, Miles Sanders, Ertz, like in your main builds, depending on where you go for captain and stuff like that, I think that's really where we're going to see the ball go on the Philly side. On San Francisco, if Kittle plays, he's in play. Past that, dude, my problem with all of the San Francisco side is San Francisco is not blocking well. Like, Jarrett McKinnon could get there on volume. They could easily split this 2 to 3 different ways. Man, I don't have a lot of confidence in McKinnon or Wilson in this spot. Eagles are really good, and San Francisco is not blocking well, man. So not a lot of interest on San Francisco's side. Game overall was just nasty. I mean, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, seasonal. You're playing Kittle, you're playing Ertz, you're playing Miles Sanders, and that's it as locks. And then DFS, I like Kittle, assuming he's active. The Eagles, prior to Drew Sample not being involved last week, have been really bad against tight ends, giving up a lot of touchdowns. And yeah, Ertz, I mean, I talked about it. They ran 12 personnel about 25% less with Goddard out last week. I don't think they're going to run anywhere near as high 12 personnel as they have in the past with Richard Rodgers and if Akeem Butler even plays for them at tight end. So Ertz should see, you know, 7 to 10 targets pretty easily.
Yep. I don't know, disagreement there. All right, moving over to Atlanta is heading to Green Bay. Green Bay is favored by 7 in this game. The totals come down a little bit. The over-under now sits at 56.5. It was up at 58. I think this continues to drop a little bit more, considering right now we're getting that news that Calvin Ridley is still out of practice. I mean, Atlanta's just banged up, dude. Julio's not 100%. Russell Gage, I know he's practicing, but he's coming off the concussion. Calvin Ridley is now dealing with an injury. On the Atlanta side, people are going to, again, because they just, they love pain, they're going to talk themselves into Todd Gurley. I think that he's going to get run. He'll probably fall into the end zone. So in seasonal, you're probably playing him as a top 24 back, even though the Packers can't stop rushing attacks to save their lives. I love Hayden Hurst in this game because if Julio's banged up, if Ridley is out, Russell Gage and Hurst are the ones that are going to be leading the passing attack. And my favorite would be Hurst. Like, I think that he could see double-digit targets in this game. The Packers are not good at defending the tight end.
And over they lost on the Christian Kirksey.
Yep, exactly. So, over on the Packers side, if Davante Adams plays, he's going to smash this cornerback unit. They are absolutely terrible. If he's not in play, Alan Lazard is not going to play this game. Probably he's dealing with a core muscle injury. No,
he's probably out for a while, they're saying, which sucks because he was coming off his best game ever.
I think Aaron Rodgers is just going to go ham in this one again, especially if he has Adams. Adams and MVS can absolutely get down the field in this one, as well as Aaron Jones is going to crush them. Atlanta is not somebody you need to be scared of as far as on the ground. I know they've they've done pretty well in rushing defense so far, but they really haven't played anybody that's been really good or heavily utilized. So I think that the Packers, you know where the ball is going to go, dude. Especially with Lazard out, I think MVS is firmly in play. Like, I got to readjust my ranks, look and see where I have some guys. I'm not going to be surprised if MVS is a top 36 play at the wide receiver position. So I know people are scrambling. If somehow we've been talking about MVS on our waiver wire episodes religiously, if he's somehow still out there on the waiver wire, pick him up. I think you could start him at confidence as a flex option this week or as a top 36 play. But double check my rankings as I update them all the way up to Sunday. I will definitively be tweaking those as we get more injury news. But what are your thoughts, man?
Lazard would have smashed again if he was active. Slot receivers and tight ends have crushed the Falcons this year, which makes Robert Tonyan pretty nice sleeper. You may not have, unless you're in a really deep league, you probably won't want to start him, but in showdown, definitely sprinkle in some Robert Tonyan, especially with Lazard out and, you know, Adams if he can't suit up. But if Adams plays, I mean, say Aaron Rodgers throws the ball 30 times in this game, you got to think like 18 of those targets go to Adams and Aaron Jones.
Yeah, so I think that it really makes it really pretty easy on the Packers side. Like, it's concentrated. It's getting more concentrated. We know where the ball is going to go. So I like this game. I think you can actually tell yourself a story that if the total continues or the over-under continues to fall, I actually could still bet the over in this one because Matt Ryan's still going to chuck the ball. It just comes down to, like, who is he going to get it there to? So, all right, everyone, that is it for our DFS game-by-game breakdown for this week. If you're not playing DFS yet at this point, I don't know what to tell you, man. You could utilize all of this info as well as for your season-long teams. Guys we love in DFS, obviously we are going to love them in season-long as well. Like I said at the beginning of the show, get entered to win for the signed mini helmet for Kenny Golladay. Rewind it. This is going to be given away very, very shortly as the reviews continue to pile in. So for Adam and I, we'll be back next week giving you three episodes, as always, coming at you with waivers, trade targets, and this DFS game-by-game breakdown weekly. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.